WCSG Backstage gives you access to your favorite WCSG DJs from your family-friendly morning show, the most music for your middays, and the ride home.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve.
I'm Brittany, and this is
WCSG Backstage.
We're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
Well, thank you for being a friend of WCSG Backstage. This time next year, you could travel down the road and back again with some of your best friends on a Golden Girls-themed cruise.
Yes.
Yes, the theme cruise is described as a once-in-a-lifetime gathering, five-night high-seas adventure that incorporates a Golden Girls fancy dress party and dinner. They, of course, have to have cheesecake, I would think. Bingo night and a karaoke party. Wow. So that got us thinking, if you could go on any themed cruise, what would that theme be?
First, though, I have to say, when you opened this segment, Amanda, I was like, isn't that how some sitcom, that some old TV show starts like that?
I saw it on your face.
I was like, what was that? Oh, Golden Girls. Yes. It all makes sense.
Yes. I used to love the Golden Girls when I was a preteen. I know, it's so
did
weird.
You have actually, for older ladies living in Florida?
I just loved them. I loved the Golden Girls.
You
I
were
was
right
such
in
a
their
strange,
target demo.
Awkward kid. Yeah.
So would you go on the Golden Girls cruise?
I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be all over it. I know. That's right up my alley.
I just feel like it would be, it would be a cruise full of Blanches.
Yes.
And
Betty White.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Is that your answer to the question, Tom? Would just go ahead and do Golden Girls?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Because I'd want to bring my kids. It would have to be some sort of kid theme. So probably a princess theme for my daughters.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely themed cruises that I would enjoy,
but
then I'd feel guilty. So I'll keep the Golden Girls cruise. I'll go on that with my wife, and she'll love it. and we'll bring the kids on the princess cruise.
Okay.
Nice.
Right. Yeah.
I wish that someone would put together a guilt cruise, and then that would be something perfect for you, Tom.
Yes, the shame and guilt cruise.
Yes, there you go.
Wow.
All the food you can eat and then feel bad about
later.
That's called the Weight Watchers cruise.
No kidding.
Jeremy, you got one?
Okay, so first I thought, like Back to the Future. Like I want to have a Back to the Future themed cruise. But then I was coming up with some trouble coming up with fun ideas. So then I just took it to a more broader approach and I said an 80s themed cruise.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, so here I kind of come up with some ideas. There'll be several arcades available, all set to free play so you don't have to dunk quarters in it. There would be dancing at night, of course, to 80s themes music and some iconic 80s bands. And I just came up with a couple like Tears for Fears, The Police, REM. Just play the hits.
The Eurythmics.
So you're going to have to have so many of these artists because you just want to only hear the hits. You don't want to hear any of that.
That's so true.
Would you have to wear your sunglasses at night?
You would have to wear sunglasses at night.
Absolutely.
You're going to have ponytails out the side of your hair. Like all the dress. You are not allowed to bring any clothes from like recent years.
I'll wear my Bricard Noir. That's the only cologne I'll wear. That and polo.
What happens when the ship reaches 88 knots?
Huh? That's when all the fun kicks in.
Okay.
Also, there'd be a movie theater that plays choice 80s flicks 24 hours during the trip.
Oh,
so like 16 Candles, Breakfast Club,
yes.
Ferris Bueller, and just all that
so
going
so
on.
Fun. Make this happen.
Right?
Yes. Come to the John Hughes deck.
There'll be a Zoltan machine or a Zoltar machine.
Yeah, that's right.
From
Yeah.
The kid from Ferris Bueller, like there's a Porsche that you get to drive off the side of the ship.
Yes. Let's put it in reverse and let it go.
Because you're mad at your dad.
Okay, well, mine, sort of similar-ish. Mine would just be a Hollywood theme. All right. So this is award season. So the red carpet, you're seeing it just about every weekend on TV and stuff. But, different movie genre for each
per
deck
level.
Of the ship. You know, like you could do like this is the film noir deck, but this is the rom-com deck, or whatever. I don't know.
Meg Ryan is your special.
There you go. Yeah. A lot of screening theaters like you've got, Jeremy. But of course, celebrities are populating this cruise, and not just actors and actresses, but like writers and directors that I respect. You know, I could kind of like, you know, pick their brain about their editing philosophy and all that kind of stuff. They'd be there for dinners and meet and greets and stuff.
Wearing the director pants that bulge out at their thighs.
Of course. Yeah, the vest, you know, with all the pockets. And it's like the whole cruise is like the Academy Awards and the after parties.
Oh, okay.
You know,
fun.
So it just has that feel to it. As far as the activities, you know, kind of like how some cruises you go on to, you can be a part of a choir and do like show tunes. But this, you actually get together with some other passengers as a crew or cast, and you actually film a short film directed by Ron Howard, maybe. Or Steven Spielberg.
It's Cocoon.
Yes. Right,
all of a sudden young again.
Yes. So anyway, so that is that's my cruise.
Oh, nice. That's fun. I went for very specific, moderate fan Harry Potter themed cruise.
Moderate.
Yes, because
so
I
not the
don't
crazy people.
Normal people
yes.
that like Harry Potter.
Like normal people that enjoy Harry Potter. Not like I only talk in spells Harry Potter fans. Like I don't want to go
wear
that.
Capes.
Yes, no, I don't want to go that extreme.
I do need to interject that I've got a friend who's a nurse, and she had a time when somebody came into the ER and she asked what happened, and this woman got injured playing Quidditch.
Yeah. That's
like
a real thing.
She literally was trying to play Quidditch.
It's a dangerous sport.
Yeah. Well, we all know that.
Well, you just run around on a broomstick, right?
That's exactly what happened. Like, they actually have, like, one time I went to Celebration Cinema to go see a movie, and they were having a Quidditch match outside, and it's these people on brooms running around basically trying to play the game.
Hey, guess what? We don't have potions that can, fix
the
your broken
is not
bones.
Gonna yeah. Okay. Wow. So, anyways, I would have all the food that you see at Harry Potter. So, you know, the butterbeer and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, the jelly beans. So, like, vomit beans everywhere.
Yes. Birdie bots, every flavor beans. Yeah. Yes. And then also J.K. Rowling would obviously be on the cruise. So you could do like Q&A with her. Some of the actors would be, I mean, not all of them, because some of them, as we were discussing earlier this week, I feel like have gotten a little weird.
Looking at you, Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We would have trivia night. So you can play, you know, Harry Potter trivia, but you'd probably be pretty good at it because you're just moderate fans, not like the crazy people that have memorized everything.
Right.
There would be Quidditch. I wouldn't participate. I would just watch. And the cruise would take place like kind of around England and Ireland. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the scenery of Harry Potter.
Mm. That sounds really fun and something someone could pull off, I think, and make good money doing it. Mine is kind of TV related. I think a game show cruise would be super, super fun.
Wow. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you just look at through time how many different game shows there have been, and everyone always says, oh, I would love to be on a game show. Yeah. And this way, like, if you tried Wheel of Fortune one day and you were terrible at it, I'll just go do Jeopardy the next day.
Right.
And you could, I think, just...
That sounds so cool.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, you'd have, you know... Barker's Beauties there and the beach and there's a pool deck.
So many prizes to win, like
so
the whole
prizes.
Time.
Yes.
Yes. I didn't really think too much further into that, but I just think that would be a good way to experience a lot of them or be in the audience for a lot of them. And
it'll be
just
the Merv Griffith
one.
Tour.
Right. Like right.
Yeah.
That would be Bob really Barker because he's still with us.
Everybody would have a skinny mic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any dogs and cats that walk or neuter immediately.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
Promotional consideration provided by
Carnival Cruise Lines.
Yes.
Perfect.
And when you get stop at a port of call, then you get a segue to drive around.
Right.
And, but first you have to like make sure you know the price of it.
Yes.
Without going over.
Yeah.
What the what? All right. Well, let's look at some of the craziest news stories floating around the interweb. Steve, you go first.
Oh, okay. Sure. So this past Saturday, in an area of Germany near the border of Switzerland, just go there in your imagination, there was an invasion of nearly 3,000 Smurfs.
What?
Yes.
They're from Belgium.
Everybody
knows that.
Oh, are they really?
I don't,
that's where they were created, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's on your 80s cruise.
I don't know why.
There you go, really. Well, actually, it was this group called Die Traditionsverein. I cannot do a German accent. But they were looking to break the world record for the largest group of people dressed as Smurfs. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a thing, even in 2019.
Wow.
The group did have strict rules.
Oh, boy.
In order to be counted, participants could not show any non-blue skin.
Whoa.
They could dress as Papa Smurf with his trademark red cap and white beard, or Smurfette with the blonde hair and the white skirt. Normal Smurfs are okay, too. So, non-Papa and non-Smurfette. Yes?
Question.
Yes.
All the Smurfs, at least all the male Smurfs, don't have shirts on.
Oh.
That is a question.
Right?
Well.
Yes. And they wear, like, diapers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Like,
kind of. They don't wear pants. They're more like, it's more like underpants. Bloomers of some sort.
Yeah, they're bloomers. Yeah, they're like the waxy thing you put over a diaper.
Interesting. Yes. What?
I didn't get any photos. Sorry. I didn't see any pictures. Okay. But I feel like when you say any, you couldn't show any non-blue skin, like, you could maybe put on
a blue shirt
and just paint your arms or hands or something, maybe. Right. I don't know, but
a lot of body paint.
Yeah, it's a lot of blue for sure. Some of the characters that we know from the Smurfs, like, you know, the evil wizard Gargamel.
Yeah.
He was strictly off limits. It was a no Gargamel zone.
This is a positive Smurf zone.
That's right, right.
Wow. Smurf snowflakes are happy.
So here's how it turned out. The Record Institute for Germany, which that's also a thing, did verify the final number, 2,762 Smurfs. And that was posted on the website of that institute. And they provided a certificate for the participants.
Oh, they did it.
Yeah, yep, they did it.
2,700 people is a lot.
Wow. I feel like we could beat that.
Really?
Set it up, Jeremy.
Let's set that up. Now, I will say the Guinness Book of World Records, they have yet to confirm, okay?
No.
The standing record in Guinness is held by a group of just over 2,500 participants. And that was in the UK in 2009.
There's more than one group of people who decided to do this?
Oh, yes. What? This group
this
in Germany,
standing record.
They were breaking the standing record. Yes.
So there's going to be like this back and forth rivalry at some point.
And there, this is not the only Smurf-related record in Guinness.
What?
Yes. With a total of 6,320 items, Goethe Schurz of Ripon, Wisconsin set the record for the largest collection of Smurf-themed memorabilia.
Wow.
6,000 items?
Over 6,300.
Gotta Marie Kondo that stuff right there.
Yes.
Oh,
but all
for
that
sure.
Probably would spark joy.
That probably does spark joy.
Bloomers are my favorite.
Wow.
So
what
anyway,
Steve?
That was a very Smurfy what the what.
In Australia now, you can get emojis on your license plates.
Okay, first of all, I'm not the only international entry. I just want that noted.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Mine is also international.
Okay.
Mine. I gave you trouble for that, but we're going around the world.
All right. Going around the world with what the what.
It's a small world,
apparently, the Queensland Department of Transport and Main Roads are launching emoji plates to drivers for $475 for a new order. You can customize your plate with five different designs, including the wink emoji, the smile emoji, and the heart eyes emoji. So there are just a limited number of letters you can have followed by the emoji. I think it's five letters and then an emoji on your license plate.
So is this like how you can choose to have a...
like Michigan State logo on yours. Yeah.
Is it part of the... so like if you get pulled over, is the police officer have to write down WX7 heart emoji?
Yeah.
Or is it like...
oh, that's a great question.
You know what I mean?
Or when you check into a hotel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Write down your license plate.
Right.
It's the heart emoji.
Write a smile, smiley face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know about that, but I do know that you can get the emojis. You have to pay a premium price for it. And also, they can do it with business logos as well. So if you've got like a business and you want to put your logo on your license plate, they can do that as well.
I would totally be willing to put a WCSG logo on my car if it was paid for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll drive around with a logo.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there you go. What the what?
But it's only friendly face emojis.
Right,
It's not like the poop emoji.
No.
No angry eyes.
No, I think it's like cool sunglass eyes too. So
it's like your passive aggressive way to have road rage.
Right?
Yeah, you just have like the angry face on your
You can drive around happy all the time because your anger's already spent
done.
In your license
Otherwise
plate. Yeah, done.
I just feel I am a person who loves using the wink emoji.
Yeah.
But I know there is a perception that people who use the wink emoji are very creepy.
Yeah, there is.
Really?
So, like, if a guy winks a lot in text messages, it's kind of like, what are you doing?
Yep, yep. Yeah.
So if you use the wink emoji on your license plate, will you be perceived as a creep?
I guess
if
it
you
depends.
Have a white van, probably.
Absolutely.
If it yeah. And it depends on how you're driving. If you're driving creepily, then I think that paired with your...
rolling at 5 miles an hour in a 35.
It ain't going to help your cause, Amanda. So just watch how you drive if you got the creepster emoji.
Okay. Yeah.
Time to learn about the hot dog murderer.
Oh, boy.
So this feels a little like... an episode of CSI, maybe not quite Law and Order, but CSI for sure. Basically, this person, hockey dad Jerry Westrum, was arrested for more or less eating a hot dog. So basically what happened is, which that's the stuff that, like, you know, I watch CSI and they always talk about how this technology really isn't available. Like, this really isn't a thing. Like, you can't, like, you don't breathe in certain patterns and that can be used to convict you of, you know, that's not really, you know. But apparently this guy, this dad, he went to a hockey rink and went to the concession stand, bought a hot dog, ate it, threw away the napkin that he used, and they sniped that napkin out of the trash can, compared the DNA on that napkin to DNA that they had found in a cold case murder investigation. And it matched.
Oh, no.
And so now the dude's in jail.
Oh, wow. How did they know to take his napkin?
Yeah.
So basically, the murder happened in 1993, and it went cold because they couldn't find enough evidence to really say, like, okay, these people are the suspects.
Sure.
Well, more recently, they, with DNA advances, technology advances, they were able to test some different things, and so they narrowed it down to two suspects, this Jerry guy and then a close family member of the victim. And so then they kind of knew, like, all right, well, we're gonna basically see here now, in order to get enough evidence to be able to convict this guy, we need actual other DNA from him, but he's not going to, you know, oh, you want to check this against a cold case murder? Sure, here's my saliva swab.
Yeah.
So they started following him around, and they followed him into this hockey rink where he wiped his mouth on a napkin after a hot dog, threw it away. They took it and did the testing. They found out, yep, this is a match.
Wow.
Now, he was, just so, you know, we don't have to be so scared about some of this kind of stuff, they did arrest him and then take more DNA, and that also matched. Yeah. So once they had him in custody,
what if they reached into the garbage can and pulled out a different napkin
that
he didn't use, and it was somebody else at the hockey rink, and they got the wrong guy?
What are the chances that would happen? Okay, two thoughts.
The lesson is, I've got sleeve. Yes.
I'm thinking, I was just gonna say, I feel like this story,
also don't murder people. Yeah. So there's that.
I think the story is a fiction, and they want to scare murderers into just never wiping their face, and it's just easy to identify the murderers.
If you've got a hot dog
the
on
ones
your face,
with
you must, like,
I'm the one with
someone.
Egg on my face.
Oh, yes. Or mustard and ketchup.
Yeah.
The other thought is the arena place, are they gonna, like, sue because there was no warrant presented to go through their trash
now,
can?
Now, here's the deal. This quote was put out by, I don't know if it was the DNA investigator or the police, but they basically said, when discarding something in the trash, the Supreme Court has said many times it's fair game.
Okay.
So be careful what you throw away.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Dumpster
right
diving.
Back,
yeah.
Yeah, right. I keep a shredder in my trunk, so it's fine.
It's all good.
We all listen to too many true crime podcasts.
Yeah, I know.
We know all the ways to get caught.
Seriously.
So it's one of the ways to be scared to not do the things.
Winky eye emojis all the way around.
Yeah. So that was in America?
Yes.
So we've gone from Germany to Australia to America.
Where are we heading next?
We're heading to Finland.
Ooh.
Finland, y'all. Lisa is her name, and she is a knitting fool. Yeah. She loves to crochet and knit. When she was 10 years old, she was so good at it while attending art school that she actually started knitting sculptures. A life-size sculpture of her first grade teacher was the first one she did. And it turned out so good, she has been inspired to create a series based on that initial concept. So what she does is she takes 3 months, and with photographs and with personal interaction, she is crocheting exact replicas of random people.
Wait,
so like a woman with her dog.
What? No, so it's not like I'm paying you to make a crocheted replica of me. It's,
no,
she's just doing it as
an art exhibit. Yes.
Oh,
so she takes measurements. She pays attention to your mannerisms, all the details.
Permission.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's involvement because
I was thinking like just random.
Just sitting in
the next episode.
Sitting in the park.
She meets with them. They decide on a pose. Like, she makes them a part of this art installation.
Wow.
And so she said when she does like the body and everything, but when it comes to the hands, she has them come in so that she can really get all the details.
Wow.
There's going to be photos on the article that we share on our website. You got to check them out. I mean, they're unbelievable.
Does she have any Smurfs?
No Smurfs.
Oh.
There's a lady walking a dog. There's a man. And there's another, like, mom and daughter. Yeah. So.
Okay, nice. This is going to make me sound like a freak.
Oh.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure Lisa's got you beat here.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I kind of would love... My babies are all big now, okay? Oh. I can't rock any of my babies anymore.
You want a crocheted?
Of when they of were you little. When you're little.
Like, that's funny.
It's not the same.
It is crazy.
You know, well, you can, here's the thing. You can fill it with warm water balloons, though. Oh, and then it would have the weight and the feeling... of a baby.
Like, just rock him for another minute.
My little crochet baby. Then pop, it'll pee on you. You pop the balloon. And
Oh, my little. Oh, yeah, no, I'm super embarrassed.
So, okay, to help you out here, like, in order for these things to stand on their own, they are made with rebar and cement inside.
Oh.
So, like, I guess if you had a child, you could probably crochet one like without that in
so
there.
So they're life-size?
They're life-size, like, exact replica.
Why is there cement in them? That just seems...
So that they're sturdy, like, because of the way you're standing.
All right, okay.
Okay, because, for a second there, I have to say, I was having flashbacks to, like, an early episode of when this was Welcome to the Bullpen.
With Remember? The babies with teeth?
The weird, yes, the dolls with the
teeth dolls.
Dolls with the human teeth. Please go back and reference episode 2, whatever that was.
I think it was 2 or 3, yeah.
Okay, but what about, is this better? If it's like you are a military family and your spouse is deployed and you just really miss them and you would love to have
them. You turn them into a boyfriend pillow.
Yes! Yeah.
Why do I know this?
Wow.
I feel like there could be some practical application.
Yes, sure. I agree with you. Right? I agree with you. Yes, okay. I agree.
You're right.
With
or
you.
Like, you know, think anybody who's lonely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Shut in. Yeah.
They lost their spouse.
Absolutely. Put them on a Roomba. They can go around the house.
And now you've got Home Alone going on.
Yes. Yes.
What the what?
Wow.
All right. Amanda.
Okay, we're traveling to Vietnam for mine. There's an upcoming summit that's happening between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And in honor of that, to show that there is peace and goodwill, there is a barber in Vietnam who is giving people haircuts for free if you agree to get the Kim Jong-un haircut or the Donald Trump haircut.
Nice.
We will put this picture on the show notes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But this is something.
Wow.
Does the Donald Trump haircut automatically mean you get hair added onto your head?
I don't know.
I think you get a dye job, that's for sure.
Yeah, they do. They color it. The one guy who said, yes, I will get my hair done like Donald Trump said, the only reason I did it is because he promised he would change it back after the summit was done.
Good luck with that.
And there's a young kid, he's 9 years old, who really looks like Kim Jong-un. And he says, his quote, I am happy with my haircut. None of my other classmates can pull off the look because no one in my class is as fat as me, he said.
So, poor buddy.
I know. But he really
does. You're just husky.
Does look like him.
Yeah, I feel like that's maybe not the insult in that culture that it is here.
That's what I was just thinking, too. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a way of showing goodwill and peace if you get your hair cut like the... Like the two
what
of
we
them.
All did that.
I was just going to suggest it.
Oh, my word.
Let's do it
here.
That's
not fair. I don't want a man haircut.
I will tell you, I will admit, I will confess to all of you that I have made some mistakes in my life. Mm. But top three easily is getting the undercut cut under my hair.
Really?
Like getting that shape.
I'm so sad.
Because the growing it out
so cool.
has been terrible. Oh, it's horrible. And everyone warned me it will be terrible to grow it back out. And did I listen? I did not.
I feel really ignorant here. Why is it terrible?
I will show you sometime.
Okay. Well,
it's
I mean,
like, really, like look this at long. This. Yeah.
So the rest
what
of the hair is a ponytail.
So there's just nothing
this,
you can do with
nothing
it. That's why it's terrible.
I could put beads on it or something stupid, but...
Or like lots of hairspray and make it look like it's...
So it's unruly for a certain amount of time.
Trying to grow out bangs, which you boys would have no concept.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't have a concept except for our beard. Like, it gets itchy at a certain length. But that's not itchy, but it's just unruly.
It's stupid looking.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it's stupid looking. And I, for the record, I thought it looked super awesome when you first had it done.
So word of advice, though. Like, do not take advice from a... person who works at the salon who has very long, very beautiful blonde hair and they want to cut yours off because they are not brave enough to do it themselves.
Right. They're vicariously
and yes, it's
experiencing
it,
that.
Anyway, so there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Tom, you look scared.
No, I'm not scared. No. I'm this is me learning. When I learn a lot real quick, it's a scared look on my face. A lot of information all at once.
Well, thanks again for listening to WCSG Backstage. You know, you make this podcast possible. When you download, when you review, when you share it, we really couldn't do it without your support. So thank you. And join the podcast at backstage at WCSG.org. We love hearing from exclamation point.
We do.
Oh,
wow.
Whoops. That was my Ron Burgundy moment. I'm kidding.
He's not.
I know.
Does that. Yeah.
.org. We love hearing from you. Also, you can learn more at WCSG.org. Keyword backstage.
This is Bullpen Court.
It is Bullpen Court. Yes. Probably the most fun.
Oh.
There's all kinds of courts.
Yeah.
There's appellate courts.
Yes.
There's Night Court. Remember that show?
Yes.
There's the Supreme Court.
Yes.
I think, wasn't Diana Ross on that?
Yes. Close.
The Supremes.
Close. Very close.
This.
It's a court made of the Supremes.
Get it?
Yeah. Or like all their verdicts include like a lyric from the. Yeah.
I just felt like I needed to clarify. This is where we record in our announcer's bullpen. So guys, this is Bullpen Court.
Yes. All right. We settle all the world's important things.
Yes.
The important minds of the bullpen.
All right.
We are acting as judge and jury for these cases.
I want to be Diana Ross.
What is your case?
Okay, here we go. Bullpen Court. All right, so we've got a big, huge snow pile next to our driveway. Now, we snow blow the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. We're good with that. And that scatters the snow all around different parts of the yard. And but my neighbor, he gets the snow plow. He's got a fire hydrant on one side. Now, normally the snow plow would come through, and every other house in the neighborhood that has a truck come by, the piles are evenly distributed. But because he's got a hydrant on one side, we have this huge snow pile that's bigger than any snow pile in the neighborhood, and it's hard to back out. In fact, I got in a car accident last year because of it.
Oh, no.
So I'm just wondering, am I responsible for taking that down at all, or is it totally on him to take care of that snow pile, because this is becoming a hazard? I don't mind doing it, but I feel like maybe he should have to, because he's paying for the service that puts all the snow there. So I'm just wondering what you guys think.
So it's not a city plow. It's he has someone
come
to his home and plow out his driveway.
And because he's got a fire hydrant on one side of his driveway, they put all of the snow on the side that
Based
we share.
Based on your best recollection of how his property is set up, is there another place for the snow to go?
Mm-hmm. If I were to take the hill to task.
If you were to go to him and say, here's the issue,
can your snowplow guy
put the snow somewhere else?
No, because it would be the fire hydrant, and they'd be covering that up, and then it would be a big hazard.
Then there's nothing you can do, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe you can
ask. It's easiest
to plow
snow, and if there is nowhere to put the snow, you got to put it somewhere.
But should he be responsible for taking the snow off the cap of the mountain?
Where are you going to put it?
He can put it somewhere else in his yard.
Like further into his lawn, basically.
Yeah, like even in the sidewalk.
How is he going to get it off the top?
With a shovel.
If he's hired someone to plow his driveway, he probably isn't shoveling.
Here's what you do. You go to him, you explain the issue, and say, I have an idea. Why doesn't your plow guy also plow me, and we can put the snow safely in my yard where my view is not obstructed?
Yeah. I like that idea.
I mean, there's some sort of... Because, again, you think about if this was something else and something on his property was causing you to get into a car accident, that, you know, you gotta... You're creating a hazard for other people. So I get that the hazard needs to be addressed.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there's no... can't the snow plow driver... I mean, this doesn't fix the problem now, but push it further in to his yard?
Is it his yard or your yard or shared yard?
Shared. It's the space in between the two driveways.
Are you willing to, in the spring, do some yard repair if they do that?
Because
if he puts his blade down and pushes it further, that could tear up your whole yard.
Yeah, I don't want that either.
But that might be the give
for
you.
And that's safer.
Tear up my yard, push it in further so that I don't have to...
Safer than death.
Yeah, or safer than having to repair a car.
Okay.
Right.
Good. Do you like snow blowing?
I do.
I mean, you seem like the kind of person who...
And I do.
Is into snow blowing.
I snow blow a sidewalk for him.
Would you be willing to push that thing up on top of that hill?
That sounds dangerous.
No, because it's
spin around in circles.
Just keep
it's,
back.
Yeah,
back
it's
and
just
forth,
one of
the,
it's the little Toro 3-horsepower dealie.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even have the metal blade. So it's going to get up there and just it'll stall. Halfway up the hill, it'll be done.
Though,
yeah, I like that.
So what's our verdict?
I think our verdict is maybe communicate with your neighbor, see if you can get the snow to be pushed in.
Mm-hmm.
or move to your.
Or maybe we can maybe we can just tackle it together. Him and I can just go out and just take that. Yes. Yeah, blowtorch it. That's a good idea.
Melt the snow.
Make a big ice chunk.
Crochet it. Make a crocheted ice hill on the other side so it will match.
What I'm hearing. Is compromise with the neighbor.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's what I think it is going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Verdict is for compromise.
All right.
Who's next?
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Ooh. Oh.
No.
That's my court case.
Here's what I say. A hot dog is a sandwich like a taco is a sandwich. Handheld food where you've got all of the food groups represented. You know, you got carbs, you got protein, you got fat.
What if you just have a fruits and vegetables? Sandwich?
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean like that. I mean just the big three.
Sure.
Carbs, protein, fat. It's all in there.
That's all you need. Three.
You got cheese. You got meat.
A lot about
you've
this.
Got some kind of
a vessel?
Container. Sure. Yeah, right. Whether that's bread or tortilla, flour, whatever, you know. If you are really healthy, it's one of those weird lettuce container things. I don't know.
Lettuce container.
What if you I don't know what fold to call that. Up a piece of pizza? Does it then become a sandwich?
Pizza is a sandwich also because it's handheld food.
You have thought about this.
No.
Yes.
I'm not agreeing.
I'm not calling it a sandwich. I'm not I'm not calling pizza a sandwich. I'm saying that the sandwich, the taco, the hot dog, the pizza are all in the same category.
Handheld food.
Right. So
it's a variant of handheld food. You're not saying a hot dog is a sandwich. You're saying it's a variation of handheld food.
That is like correct. And I feel like the one entry in that category that has gotten kind of like a blanket terminology is the sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's a sandwich. It's more like it's closer to a burrito than a sandwich.
Yeah,
because it's got one piece of bread that is wrapping it. It's one piece of bread wrapping itself around like a burrito. The
but
meat.
But you don't pick up a burrito and eat it with your bare hands.
Yes, you do.
The
frozen kind you do.
Oh, I was thinking of
Tom. Yeah, okay. I don't.
I'm thinking of a wet burrito.
To do this, but I'm going to totally destroy your rationale.
Why?
A submarine sandwich, by definition, has the same type of bread container where it's a slit down the side and you've filled it with things.
Oh,
it's a bun.
Take a hot dog and now turn it on its side. You have a submarine sandwich.
It's got like a paper thin piece holding the two pieces of bread together, though.
Here's the thing. If you said, I would like a sandwich.
We all
for
just
lunch.
Need to start eating a hot dog sideways.
If I would like a sandwich for lunch and someone gave me a hot dog, I mean, I'm not going to be mad, but I'm also like, that's not what I was prepared
totally.
To.
Totally. I wouldn't be like, thanks for the sandwich.
Yes.
Because everybody
maybe
would be
just
confused.
Maybe we need to start changing our viewpoint.
But you would be closer to content with that than if somebody brought you
a burrito,
a bowl of soup.
Yes, because of
because
what your logic.
Those
I like
are
your
two
logic.
Different categories,
the,
soup and sandwich.
The top category is handheld. Right? Okay, and then you've got hot dog and pizza and sandwich.
Tears.
So,
what if you go to Panera next time? You say, I'll take the soup and sandwich. They give you broccoli cheese soup and a hot dog.
Oh, I'd spit on the ground. I would spit on the ground.
I might be like,
it would be over.
I feel like, honestly, I'd be like, huh.
Never thought about
interesting.
This.
Interesting. Maybe next time I'll get a taco.
Yeah, maybe.
So it's kind of like the, when you go to the South and you say, I'll have a Coke, and they say, what kind?
Yes. Mm.
You know, I'll have a sandwich. What kind
of sandwich?
Right.
Hot dog.
Does anybody remember the Frankenfurter hot dogs they had in like I think it was the late 80s, where the chili was in the hot dog? It was encased.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's like blazing lava.
That's like
yes.
the hot dogs with a little cheese in
it. It's awful.
Yes.
Little
me
cheese
too.
Chunks. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so.
Hey, hold on, I looked up the definition of sandwich. An item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them, eaten as a light meal. So but it doesn't help us.
Excuse me, you use your phone. That's cheating.
I was just looking up a definition.
I recall is one time.
It's also her case.
Accused of cheating in that.
She was bringing in corroborating evidence.
All right, let's
that
go around.
Exhibit one.
Brittany.
Yes, it's
Brittany's verdict.
Hot dog is a sandwich. No.
Wait. No, Steve.
But because I was so distracted by the cheating, what was the determination from that piece of information that you got from the internet off
I think
your phone?
It's two slices of bread.
An item of food consisting of two pieces of bread. Two pieces.
Okay.
Hot dog
doesn't mean that they can't be
one.
Affixed
no,
to
no,
each
no,
other.
No.
There's a
my
hinge.
Hot dog buns are always splitting apart, and they always become.
It's because you don't blot your hot dog after you take it out of the water, man.
Or the hot dog is too big.
That's why you gotta blot it.
Why are you making it in the water? Just heat it up in the microwave.
Yeah.
That's all. Oh, because then it gets
under
all
your
weird.
Armpit would be preferable to boiling it. Let's be honest.
They come out all gray.
Anyway,
you, know, you blanch
I'm just
it.
Saying,
you don't
need it to is. It's nearly two pieces of bread already.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Now, if you said two slices of all bread, right. then maybe I would think differently.
All right.
Differently.
So Brittany says no, not a sandwich. Steve,
I say yes.
Oh. I say yes.
No.
Oh, we're at a stalemate.
I'm the deciding.
Yes, you're the deciding vote.
On your own case.
I want separation, so I'm going to say no.
Woo. All right.
There we go.
Not a sandwich.
All right. Nice.
All right, here's mine. April Fool's Day is right around the corner. Workplace pranks. Good idea or bad idea?
Terrible.
Oh, awful bad. Idea.
Wow, that's the shortest case ever.
Oh, no.
Not that I'm planning anything,
same,
mind you.
Not good
it's
at all.
The same idea behind pranks in general. Yeah. You know, I yeah. mean, like some of them, like... Some of them can be funny, but I don't even call it a prank. You know, if it's like actually genuinely funny, it's more of a joke, not a prank.
I feel like pranks hurt people.
They do, and I ruined my relationship with my grandmother over a prank.
Share
once.
The story, please, as evidence.
Okay.
To the case.
I was 8 years old and seven or eight, maybe six. I was young. And I was at my grandma's house for the week. It was during Christmas, most likely. That's when I spent time at my grandma's house. And she was out in the back. She was taking care of her little golf. Volkswagen, I think. Nice. And I told my aunt, who has special needs, and I said to her, I said, go tell grandma that I'm hurt. It's April Fool's.
Oh,
so she did. My grandma came in just so scared. So I've never seen anybody so scared in my life. And I knew right then my face turned red.
Yeah.
And I knew I had wronged her.
Yeah.
I had wronged her. And ever since then, like for a while, our relationship was kind of strained.
Oh.
Kind of strained, and she was my favorite grandma.
Right.
I can say that now because both of them died.
Wow.
Did you?
And no, that sounds horrible. But I never would say that back.
Yeah,
when
right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure, sorry, sure, Grandma Bovey. But ever since then, I've always had this thing about pranks, and I tell my kids, do not prank, and I tell them that story.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I tell them that story right. to this day.
Because so, Grandma won't love you anymore.
Because Grandma, or you will feel like Grandma doesn't love you anymore, and it'll ruin the rest
did
of your life.
Do you really feel like it strained your relationship?
I think that it did. I'm going to be honest with you. It was kind of toying there with that story. I think it did for a little while.
She felt like you lied to her.
She and I had a special relationship, and for a while at least, until her deathbed, when her and I had a really special moment that I believe healed that relationship.
Aww.
That's the truth. Because she waited to die until I went and visited her.
Aww.
And then she died, and she didn't recognize anybody, but she recognized me.
Oh, wow.
And she said, that's my boy. So at that moment, I believe it was healed. But no, for a while, it was strained because I was her special boy,
mm-hmm.
and pranking her. Strained
her.
That it hurt
yeah.
her that
yes.
much, and it
yeah.
hurt me. Wow. And to this day, I carry that pain. So, anyways,
well, just to represent the opposition,
the defense over here.
Can I just bring up The Office? Like how much we love watching that show, and Jim and Dwight.
Those are
but remember,
just
I know
such
it's
a goober.
It's TV pranks.
It.
You have that distance. You have that separation.
It's not
you know,
happening to you.
It's not. Well, yeah, right. You're nobody wants to be the Dwight in that scenario.
Right.
So yeah, I get it. I mean, it does make fun entertainment. It does make must-see TV.
Yes.
But no, I don't think I would want to be a part of either on the giving or receiving end of April Fool's
prank. So it's
prank.
A unanimous
but
no.
Dad jokes, I feel like.
Totally cool.
Okay.
Dad yeah. jokes in the workplace are okay, but pranks are not.
What do you think about the pranks? I need to know. I work closely with you.
Okay, so I am very uncomfortable with pranks.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I remember I was a youth leader for a bit, and we went to like a camp overnight. And I remember hearing the boys whisper, like they were planning.
Scheming.
And like,
yeah.
I
That's
was
my whole life,
so
man.
Uncomfortable.
Oh,
at
yeah.
one point I was like, listen, you guys, you can't do this. You can't. And like, I don't even remember what I said, but I got real serious.
Yeah.
I might've even like not angry, but like cried a little bit. Whoa. Like, you can't do this. It's going to hurt my feelings so bad. Like, guilt tripped them out of it. Oh. Nothing happened. But like, I can't stand pranks.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's such an uncomfortable feeling to be on the receiving end.
Yeah, the butt of the joke. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm.
Especially if it's something that is done in public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I'm supposed to react a certain way to this and be like cool with it, but I'm not cool with it. Yes. So having to have that. Ugh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Judgment. No pranks.
Okay, is it okay to load up my adjunct class with a bunch of guest speakers?
Because we're actually doing that.
Because that's sort of what I'm in the midst of doing. No,
what if we all say no?
I found that, well,
too late.
Then I'm going to have to find some other options for guest speakers. Found that so I'm teaching this class at Cornerstone, and in the first three like foundational weeks where it's kind of like, the basics of the topic, I'm having to plan 3 hours a week of, class time and stuff like that. And I was like, I didn't realize how long lesson planning takes when you're building something from scratch. So then I got a guest lecturer last week, and I've got some more lined up. And those classes have been great. Mm. Like, I've been like, there's less pressure on me. This is somebody who actually is an expert in this field. Like, I feel like the students are getting better content than they would just me, And so anyway, but there is a little bit of guilt, like,
you should be
right. Am I just kind of like passing the buck, I guess,
go ahead.
I think the fact that you know people that can speak and be an expert on that is a great thing.
Yeah. That's part of the reason I'm sure they chose you to do it or asked you to do it, because they know you have connections within the actual industry.
And that is something that, honestly, like, I've really enjoyed, like, realizing, oh man, the contacts and, the friends that I've made over the years in this business.
Well suited for this.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I guess I didn't think of them as a resource for something like this, but like, I know people, and so anyway.
I also think it depends on the class.
Yeah.
As in, do I think it's okay you have a guest speaker every day if you're a kindergarten teacher? Probably not. Or a math teacher, probably not. Right. But I think in a class, like especially college classes, I think that's...
Well, and also, like, as a former student, at some point, like, just listening to the same teacher every day, every class, it gets fatiguing. So, right. I mean, it's a pattern interrupter, and it's really enjoyable to have somebody who has real-world experience talking to you about the thing that you're interested in.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm on board.
I am, too. I think you're going to get the best information for your students from any one of these professionals who are hyper knowledgeable of their field, more so than you, even though you are skilled.
Right.
And in doing so, you're giving these students a better education. And I think that's really what it comes down to.
All right.
Good job, Steve.
Do it, Steve.
Good job, Professor Steve.
And with that ruling, I'm going to be asking you all to speak.
Can we all come as one big group, or are you going to split us up?
We'll see how that all plays out.
I would be interested to hear what Steve, like, okay, Jeremy, I want you to talk about this. Tom, about this. Like, what he actually thinks we're good at.
Yeah, what you think our expertise is. Mm.
Okay, so this actually also happened to me. Is it okay to bring underbaked cookies to a guest's house? So is it better to show up with nothing or show up with something that may give them salmonella?
Oh, that underbaked?
Wow. Well, okay, so I made these bars.
Love a soft cookie.
I made these bars and they were real gooey in the middle.
Yeah.
Mm, we ate them all.
Totally cool.
But they have kids and I didn't want to, like...
Did you bring them in a... what I've had to do before is cut them out of the pan and then, like, put them on a plate, and just, like, the real gooey ones you just don't
put
like on
the plate. You bring the edges and make it out the centerpieces.
Yeah. Hmm. And I usually eat that myself because I don't care about the salmonella.
I mean, we'll eat the cookie dough.
I guess I know salmonella is a thing, but I would say it's better that than super hard, overcooked, crusty cookies.
Right?
You know?
Not enough milk in the world to soften those things up.
No, you're right. I think you bring the cookies, but maybe you just give a brief overview of what happened. Hey, you might get salmonella. These are a little underbaked. We all know they're delicious, but just saying.
If you're sensitive to that.
Yeah, if you're sensitive to food poisoning, don't blame me. Yeah. So just that.
Or blame yourself because at this point you now know.
Have a
full lesson on exactly what salmonella poisoning is.
A whole full PowerPoint.
Graphs.
Which I have my PowerPoint husband with me, so we can take care of that side of it.
Yep. Well, what does Spencer say about undercooked stuff? Is he cool with
it? Was he on board? Well, he ate them, didn't he?
We didn't bring them. because I felt because I had they have little kids, and so I was like, I don't know if that's gonna
just say they're adult cookies.
Got booze in them though,
or recreational.
Yes, no, but no. So I actually, because Amanda will understand this, this was not me going above and beyond. This was me doing some like things that I enjoy. I enjoy baking, so I actually made two different kinds. So I left the underbaked ones at home, and I just brought the pan of like good ones.
Okay,
so that's what ended up. But that
and
was
when you got home, Bear had a real guilty look on his face. I'm kidding.
And he was dead because he had M&M's in that.
Oh, oh no! Yeah. So they were slightly raw M&M cookies?
Yeah, it was like, they were like chocolate chip cookie bars, but they were really good. They were really good.
All warm and gooey.
Yeah, they were really great.
I think you made the right choice. If you didn't have two pans, I probably would have just tried to cut the middle out. Okay. And but or just then explain, like, hey, these are a little undercooked, sorry.
Don't you just get some vanilla ice cream on the way home and like chop those things up and just put it in the ice cream?
That's a really good idea.
That kills the salmonella, doesn't it?
No.
Yes, it freezes it.
Yes? Yeah, yes, that's what I thought.
Right. All right, so what's the verdict here?
You did the right thing.
Whatever you did, it was the right thing.
Beautiful. Well, we're back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening to WCSG Backstage. And as always, a big thanks to Mr. Dodd Morris for running the controls.
Who would eat all of the raw cookies?
Absolutely. He always helps us to sound our best. Thank you, Dodd. And as we do each episode, let's close things out with a deep cut. Amanda, you are up. What'd you bring?
Well, usually I like to bring a song that has like a story or something I know about it or a little interesting tidbit or fun fact. The only thing I know about this song is that I've heard it and I like it.
Ooh.
And it's from a group I've never heard of, I know nothing about, and I don't know if they're like new into Christian music, if this is just a one-time thing, but I think it's a fun song. It's a group called Switch, and the song is called Symphony, and I just think it's great.
Nice.
So that's it.
Cool.
Got it.
Thank you.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tom.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Brittany, and this is
WCSG Backstage.
Sometimes it's hard to breathe. All these thoughts are shouting at me. Try to bring me to my knees. And it's overwhelming. Darkness echoes all around. Feels like everything is crashing down. Still I know where my hope is found. And it's only you and ooh. You say you're working everything for my good and ooh.
Mic check.
Okay, so I changed the intro a little bit.
Oh.
I think I was telling some of you. So I'm Jeremy, I'm Amanda, I'm Tom, I'm Steve. Brittany can say, I'm Brittany, and this is, and we'll say WCSG Backstage together, because it was like 13 syllables.
Welcome to WCSG.
Everybody together.
There was so much WCSG.
So much. So much.
Backstage!
Yeah, that's fine too.
Ain't no stage like a backstage.
We'll just keep working on it.